Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
When you look in the mirror and you see the tracheotomy scar, does it bring back those memories?
It does, yes, it does. I just try not to dwell on it, you know?
Have you thought about what you'll tell your children in the future?
I want to be honest with them because they do have a right to know the truth. I started first feeling like I was getting sick of August 2021. I started getting severe abdominal pain. I was feeling so nauseous all the time. November is when it started getting really, really bad.
How worried were you at this point?
So on the bad days, I would ask her, do you need to go to a doctor? What do you want to do? And she says, no, I'm okay, it'll go away. And most of the time, it did.
I mean, I had lost so much weight.
Things finally got to the point where I said, hey, you're losing a lot of weight. That's when I started getting concerned.
Why did you take it or seek the nurse practitioner, Carrie Griffith?
When she was yellow.
By that time,
she was pure yellow.
Her mom grabbed my arm and she said, promise me, whatever this is, you'll find it. She was terrified.
I was just in such immense pain all the time. It just progressively got worse and worse.
And I thought, this little girl has two babies and she is dying, is what I'm thinking.
That's what it looks like.
She's dying, yes. We've got to get her help and we got to get her help fast.
I insisted she go to the hospital.
And did she go?
She did.
What was that drive like?
Oh, fast. I just remember just praying and driving. That's all I did was just praying and driving.
How long do you wait in that emergency room?
10 hours. And then she said, Mom, something's wrong. And then that's when she broke into the seizure. That was terrible. Just complete jerking and foaming and eyes just never stopped moving back and forth.
When you see a picture of Hannah when she was in the hospital, I think everyone had the same thought. What on earth put her in this position? What could have made her body deteriorate to the point where she's unrecognizable? It's heartbreaking.
How close was Hannah to dying?
I don't think it's an overstatement to say hours, maybe days.
Someone said, we figured out what's wrong with you. It's lead poisoning. You've been lead poisoned.
There.
That's the lead.
Yeah, that's just a shaving of the lead.
Soft enough to scrape off with a knife
Sure. And
put in a little capsule?
Absolutely.
I was at that time a suspect. Everybody had to be a suspect.
I'm gonna ask you a direct question. Did you try to poison your wife?
No. The first thing that Hannah said to my friends when she got home was she believed Nicole had concocted this whole thing.
One of the other doctors I spoke to said, you have to leave because she is now under protective order. I remember them saying either he's done it, she's done it, or you've done it. But someone is intentionally trying to kill your daughter.
Anne-Marie Green reports, the gaslighting of Hannah Petty.
In January 2022, the pain coursing through Hannah Petty's body for 6 months was hitting her harder than ever.
It was unbearable. I was in the bed at this point for probably like a week straight.
Were you even able to care for your kids?
I did as much as I could.
Hannah's son Lincoln was 3 and her daughter Gracie had just turned 2. But Hannah was too sick to attend Gracie's birthday party.
I was so weak that I couldn't hardly walk. I had a little office chair that would roll around in our house because I really didn't get out of the house.
Hannah says her husband, Brian Mann, was there when she needed him the most.
When I really started getting sick is when he was the sweetest to me.
Brian was a chiropractor, but he says he could not diagnose what was wrong with Hannah.
I had no idea. That's out of my forte. That's someone that I would refer out, refer to a specialist, which is what I wanted to do.
On January 18th, 2022, Hannah checked in with her mother, Nicole Petty. After they hung up, Nicole says she was haunted by something she heard in her daughter's voice.
Just, you know, that feeling. I knew something was wrong. I mean, I called and called and called and texted. Hannah called me finally, but she wasn't able to speak. So she just kind of gasped. And then she asked me, she said, Mom, can you take me to the hospital?
Brian was at work, so Nicole rushed over and drove Hannah to UAB, the hospital at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. While there, Nicole took several photos and videos.
The doctor said, obviously, she is very sick. I want to keep her, but there's no way that they're going to let me keep her. Her vitals are stable. So I said, if you send her home, she's going to die.
It was right then that Hannah suffered a terrifying seizure, and in the frenzy, she ripped off her hospital gown. For Nicole, that moment is frozen in time.
She was skin and bones. They told me that she was actually starving to death when we got there. They said she had hours to live.
One doctor directed her anger at Nicole.
She's like, does she live with you? Like, obviously, someone should have seen that. This person was dying. You know, this person was starving to death. She said, who is responsible for her?
What'd you say?
And I said, she's married. And they said, she's married?
The seizure was so severe, Hannah lost consciousness. Doctors wanted to talk with Hannah's husband. So Nicole says she texted Brian. Hey, Brian, Hannah had a seizure about 2 hours ago. She still has not come to yet. They said she could be out all day long, so I wanted to let you know. If she's not texting you, that is why.
And I, of course, didn't get a response from him.
So you don't get a text back from Brian?
Never.
It had been that way for years, she said. All through his marriage to Hannah, Brian ignored Nicole.
Never seen him. The whole time they were married, never any interaction with him whatsoever.
Never for any family gatherings, any holidays. He just never came?
Never.
Brian didn't like you?
No.
That night, Brian never got back to Nicole, but he had learned about Hannah's condition from his mother, who was in touch with Nicole. He arranged for childcare and began driving.
He got to the hospital around 9:30 that night.
Under COVID restrictions, the hospital was allowing only one visitor at a time, and with Nicole inside, Brian was kept out.
I was very irritated that Nicole was not switching out with me. Letting me in, because I stood outside of that hospital for a long time trying to get in that room with Hannah.
But eventually, Nicole did come out and Brian was allowed in.
It must have been shocking to see her in that hospital bed like that.
Yes, but I was glad that she was there and people were trying to figure something out.
When Brian left to go to work, Nicole went in. Hannah was still unconscious and had been that way for nearly 48 hours. Nurses had just finished checking on her when Nicole bent over her daughter.
I kissed her head and I said, I love you. Her eyes just popped open and she said, I love you too.
Nicole says nurses were amazed and rushed to her side.
I just started crying and Hannah said, have I not been talking?
But Hannah's ordeal was far from over. Days after Hannah was admitted, Nicole says doctors put her in a medical coma while they drained the excess fluid from within her brain.
And then they had to paralyze her because even being in a coma, there was just so much fluid in her brain that any type of movement, she would have died.
But Nicole, it's like things are going from bad to worse.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever give up hope?
No, oh no, never. Not one time.
Brian says he was wondering why Hannah's health had gone downhill so quickly the day Nicole had picked her up and drove to the hospital.
That is curious how bad she got from getting in the car with her mother to being admitted to the hospital.
His dislike and distrust of Nicole boiled over.
She is a cruel person. She was not happy with the fact that Hannah seemed happy being with me.
I'm pretty confident talking into a mic. Hey, I'm doing it right now. But home projects, I second guess everything. Is that noise normal? Is that water damage? Who do I even call? That's where Thumbtack comes in. Just upload a photo or voice note, and it uses AI-powered search to match you with a right top-rated local pro. So instead of guessing, you get clarity and can hire with confidence. For your next home project, try Thumbtack. Hire the right pro today.
As a woman entrepreneur, you know that every connection counts, whether it's with your customers, your team, or your community. Spectrum Business is here to help you build those connections stronger and faster. Imagine running your business with fast, reliable, fiber-powered internet so you can stay connected to customers, employees, and vendors without having to worry. We know flexibility matters. That's why select Spectrum Business packages come with a 3-year price guarantee, so you can focus on running your business. Plus, enjoy savings on internet, phone, TV, and mobile services when you bundle, all with a 30-day money-back guarantee and no long-term contracts. With Spectrum Business, you get more than just internet. You get support with 100% U.S.-based customer service. Real people who understand small business, ready 24/7 to help you stay up and running. Join millions of business owners like you across America who trust Spectrum Business for reliability, speed, and support. Visit spectrum.com/business today to get started. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Eight days after Hannah was admitted to the hospital, her neurologist told Nicole that doctors had figured out what was causing Hannah's symptoms.
Her exact words were, she has an astronomical amount of lead inside of her.
Lead. It was an unusual finding. And Nicole says doctors told her they had never seen a patient like Hannah.
They said her colon was so packed full of lead, it was almost 100% lead. There was no room in her stomach to hold anything. It was just complete lead. Plus, there was lead just in her bones, just everywhere.
Doctors told Nicole there was no way Hannah could have ingested all that lead by accident. It had to be deliberate, and they told her exactly what they thought.
They let me know that this is an attempted murder.
The hospital reported Hannah's case to the Department of Human Resources, DHR. The state agency that protects vulnerable adults. Hospital administrators immediately put Hannah in a secluded room with someone at the door to keep all visitors out. Nicole says she and Brian were told to leave and were no longer allowed to see Hannah because they were considered possible suspects.
I was beside myself. Because I had to leave her, they had to send me away from the hospital.
I immediately started thinking, this is Nicole. This has to be Nicole pointing fingers. I didn't really think it would get anywhere because I thought it was, again, just Nicole making waves to make waves. Hannah's mom just caused so many problems, and not so much directly at me, but she was just awful to Hannah.
Brian says Hannah told him that Nicole could be critical of her.
Why don't you put makeup on? Are you sure you should eat that? Just stuff like that all the time. I would say, why do you want this woman in your life? And it always, all she could come back to, she's my mom. She's my mom. And that's really the only defense she had for her, was she's my mom.
Hannah denies Brian's allegations. She did move away from Nicole and got her own apartment in June 2017, the month she turned 18 years old. She had just graduated from high school. That's when she met Brian, a 29-year-old chiropractor with his own business.
He was very, very sweet in the beginning, and you know, he's very charming, good looking. And yeah, I really liked him.
Sounds like it was almost sort of instant attraction.
Yes, it was a head over heels. Everything was just working right.
Within weeks of Brian's first date with Hannah, his friend Walker Snyder says Brian told him Hannah was the one.
And I'm like, man, you just met her like a week ago, or she's 18. She doesn't know what she wants. She doesn't even know what she doesn't want. And he was like, no, we both know what we want.
It wasn't long before Hannah told friends she was pregnant.
How long were you guys dating before you proposed?
We started dating in November. I believe I proposed after Valentine's Day, so not too long.
Were you nervous?
I was. I take marriage very seriously, and so yeah, I was definitely nervous about it.
Hannah was nervous too. She says she had noticed that Brian could be controlling, but she plunged ahead, at least until her wedding day in May 2018. Hannah's friend, Allison Holmes.
Right before we were all about to walk down the aisle, Hannah expressed to us that she was, you know, very nervous. She had cold feet.
We told her 100 times over, you don't have to do it. If this is cold feet, you know, it is what it is. But if this is uncertainty, walk away. It's not too late to walk away.
In the end, Hannah smiled through her ceremony and married Brian.
When you walked up to the altar and you looked at him, you had no questions.
I mean, I did. I mean, deep down, I did. I was like, I don't really know if I'm making the right decision and everything.
The couple moved into Brian's home and started their lives together.
How was he as a husband?
For the most part, he was really good as a husband. I mean, it was good and bad. We got in a lot of physical fights, so that's a bad thing. But it wasn't all the time, though. So,
you know, like, as I'm listening to you talk, you know, it sounds almost a little bit like you're explaining away the bad stuff. Do you think you did that in the marriage a bit?
Yeah, I definitely did, I think. Yeah, my mom tells me that, too.
Even their son's birth was a minefield of emotion.
I was 9 months pregnant, and I had started bleeding, and so I went to the hospital, and he came in, and he got so angry at me, and he was yelling at me, and he shouldn't have been out walking, like, in this heat. Like, that was so stupid and irresponsible.
He was acting so just outrageous that the nurses even told her, like, if you need us to do something, then you say this specific word, and we'll know that we need to step in and intervene in what's going on.
Hannah never used that safe word, but as time went on, Brian says the couple came to an understanding.
I would say, Hannah, talk to me. I am on your side. I'm your biggest fan, your biggest supporter. But one day she said, I'm going to trust you and I want to do this with you and I want to build this with you. And from then on, it just got better and better.
And that's when I started to really fall in love with him.
The couple had another child, a daughter, and life was good, they say, until Hannah began to feel sick and went to the hospital emergency room in January 2022. She was left fighting for her life, and doctors were trying to help her, but they told Nicole they had to know more.
They said, the only way she gets this much lead in her system
is to ingest it. They said she had to have ingested it. I remember them saying, we don't care if you give her crack. We just want to know about it. We have to know everything she's taking.
And that's when Nicole remembered something that she'd completely overlooked. Hannah told her that Brian had given her special supplements, capsules, each and every night. Doctors kept asking Nicole what Hannah had been eating in the months leading up to her hospital stay.
From what they can see, it looks like someone has gave her lead every single day for at least 3 months.
Was Hannah eating something that contained lead? Nicole says she had no idea because she hardly ever visited her daughter in the months before the seizure and never if Brian was home.
I could only go when he was working and I would have to leave before he got off work. I never actually ran into him. Yeah, he didn't come home until I left.
As doctors pressed her for information, Nicole remembered Hannah telling her about special supplement capsules that Brian placed on her nightstand every night, Nicole says it didn't strike her as unusual because Brian was a chiropractor, but she told doctors anyway.
I told them that I know that they were big on supplements.
Nicole says doctors repeatedly asked Brian to bring in the capsules described by Hannah, but he never did. Instead, he gave them this photo of common over-the-counter supplements. DHR investigators, who were getting information from Hannah's doctors, contacted Lieutenant Alan McDermott of the Hartselle Police Department.
They said that I needed to go arrest somebody for attempting to kill their wife. And I'm like, well, hold up. I mean, we can't just go arrest people. What are you talking about?
Investigators told McDermott that doctors suspected Brian had given Hannah some type of lead-filled capsules over and over again.
You can take a capsule and open it up, empty the contents, and then put the lead in.
McDermott told Brian about the hospital's allegations.
McDermott said, your wife's been lead poisoned and they think it was intentional, and they said, you're the number one suspect. And so I was kind of dumbfounded. I didn't know what to think about that.
McDermott asked Brian if the police could search his house, and he agreed.
So I took him all through the house. I let him search my house. And we went through and tried to figure out what she was eating, pills, makeups, and things like that.
McDermott says Brian provided a bottle of supplements and a laxative that he said Hannah had taken.
Hannah says you made her take supplements.
That is not true.
Brian blamed all his problems on Nicole.
I immediately started thinking, this is Nicole. This has to be Nicole pointing fingers.
Investigators removed the children from Brian's home. They were placed with his parents. He had supervised visitation.
Nicole had just done so much over the years, and Hannah had told me so much about her that I just had no doubt Nicole was somehow stirring this all up.
Brian said he remembered something Hannah had told him that now seemed to hold more significance. In second grade, in a story that Hannah confirms, she recalled being so sick for so long that she visited the school nurse dozens of times.
And she eventually got really bad, and her mother took her to UAB. She says she remembers staying there about a week.
Flash forward to 2022, Hannah was back at UAB Hospital. On January 29th, McDermott went to see Hannah for himself, but she was in a coma.
I had no idea the condition she was in until I went to the hospital and saw her for myself.
Doctors showed him Hannah's x-rays.
What did you think?
Oh, gosh, I was just floored. I mean, her whole insides was lit up from the lead reacting to the x-ray. I mean, it was crazy.
McDermott asked Brian to come in.
And at that point is when he refused to further cooperate with the investigation.
On February 1st, McDermott cleared Nicole, and she was once again allowed to visit Hannah.
How were you able to clear Nicole?
You know, just through conversations, whether you could tell that she was very concerned about Hannah. She was the person that was caring for Hannah.
It sounds to me like you just liked Nicole's behavior. She acted the way you expect a concerned mother to act. And Brian didn't act the way you expected a concerned husband to act.
That's correct.
Is that evidence?
That's not evidence, no. And the problem with this case was there was not a lot of evidence.
Within days, McDermott received the results of the tests done at Brian and Hannah's home.
Everything was negative.
Did you ever find any capsules?
No.
Did you ever find any supplements that were tainted?
No.
Did you ever find evidence of lead being ground down or scraped or turned into little particles that could go into a capsule?
No.
So isn't that kind of a big hole in the theory?
Well, he sold supplements.
McDermott says he kept looking for the source of that lead. In mid-February, Hannah began to rally, and McDermott went to see her again.
I told her, in a very nice way, you know, why she was in the hospital, and ask her, you know, do you have any idea who may have given you some substance? She said, no. Do you have any thoughts of self-harm? I mean, did you put yourself here? And she said, no.
McDiarmid said Hannah was coherent one minute and not the next. She said she saw people coming out of the walls.
When I first started talking to the medical staff, I mean, they didn't give her any hope. They said if she came out of this, that she would really not have any cognitive functions. They didn't suspect that we would be able to even talk with her.
Wow.
They basically told us that we needed to do everything that we could because we didn't need to rely on her as a witness because they didn't think she would ever make it to that point.
But Hannah surprised everyone by getting stronger each day with the help of a team of dedicated nurses.
They were all kind of close to her age. They knew she had kids, and they would say to her, you've got your babies. You've got your babies. And I remember she just always got a laugh in her when you mentioned the kids. She was like, I'm going to get better. I'm going to get out here and get better, you know.
Nicole says Hannah did get better and stronger. Strong enough that Hannah's neurologist told her the whole story.
She grabbed my hand and she just kind of started giving me a heart to heart about why they have strong reasons to believe that it was Brian.
And what's the conversation like after that between you and Hannah?
Oh, it was horrible. That was horrible. Sorry. Of everything that she went through, the heartbreak was terrible. She just would sit there and cry.
On March 3rd, after nearly 2 months, Hannah was well enough to leave the hospital. She went to her mom's house, reunited with her children, and filed for divorce. But friends like Kyle Golden were worried.
We did know that Hannah was still in contact with Brian.
Yeah.
And that did upset us.
It was scary.
Yeah. Knowing that she could potentially go back to this guy that we believe tried to kill her.
Happy 250th birthday, America. I've decided to spend this semi-quincentennial as our founding fathers would have wanted me to, checking out the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I know I can find everything from ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats and stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage to best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging storage, and those signature Bobopedic seats. Because nothing is more American than a sofa that's a bed and a library and a closet. So, if you want to join me in decking out your house with the finest affordable furniture this 4th of July, why not stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really? I can get super specific with dealer listings and see cars based on my budget.
Mom! You can really have it delivered.
Or pick it up.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Really?
AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really?
In the days after Hannah got out of the hospital, Hannah says she felt vulnerable and confused.
I was on so many different medicines, so many different psych medicines the doctors had me on.
Despite the risks, Hannah had made up her mind to sit down with Brian face to face. Just 1 week after being discharged, she met him at their former home.
I just had to figure it out for myself instead of everyone telling me this is what happened.
And so you sit down with him.
Mm-hmm.
And did you ask him outright? Did you do this? Did you try to poison me?
No, I was so emotional. I mean, I didn't stop crying that night. I remember I cried all through the night. I wanted him to say, like, there's no way that I could have, you know, like, what, or like, are you crazy? Like, this is crazy. And I was expecting him to go out and say that to everybody. I don't care if he even made a Facebook post about it or just anything.
Hannah says Brian never told her what she needed to hear. But then, incredibly, she changed her mind about the divorce.
I called my attorney. I was like, I don't want to go through with the divorce. Like, I don't think he did it. I said, there must be something else.
Hannah told you not to sign the divorce papers?
Yes.
Because why?
Because she knew her mother had made up this whole thing, and it was just another crazy Nicole episode.
When Hannah's family doctor heard what was going on, Nicole says he wanted to have Hannah involuntarily committed because he feared Brian would kill her. And Hannah's next move caused even more consternation. She asked McDiarmid to drop the investigation.
I said, he's a family man. I said, he loves me. He loves the kids. It just doesn't make sense.
McDiarmid knew without Hannah's help, the criminal case against Brian would likely collapse. But he understood what Hannah was feeling.
It's typical of domestic violence to forgive your abuser.
McDiarmid asked Hannah to sign a specific form that he'd prepared.
And she said, well, what do I have to sign this for? And I said, well, if Brian were to kill you in the future, and somebody from your family comes and says that we didn't do our due diligence in the investigation, then I can show them that you didn't want to pursue it. So if you want to go ahead and sign that, then we'll close it up. And she said, no, I'm not going to sign that. She said, I want you to keep going.
Ultimately, she decided to proceed with the divorce and cooperate with the criminal investigation.
What do you learn from Hannah?
More than anything, insurance policies.
Hannah told McDiarmid that Brian had taken out life insurance policies on her while they were still dating. McDiarmid learned that when Hannah was in the hospital fighting for her life, Brian tried to take out even more policies. If they were approved, Brian would have collected more than $5 million upon Hannah's death.
And that gave you what?
Well, it gives you motive. Money's a motive. Money's a huge motive.
At that point, McDiarmid felt he'd collected enough evidence to move ahead, and so did prosecutor Garrick Vickery.
We knew Hannah had been poisoned, that it was intentional, and that it was ingested.
You don't have any capsules with lead. You have a theory, you have a suspect, and you have what you believe is a motive. Why were you confident that this was enough to put in front of a grand jury?
Nothing else made sense. In this case, the evidence was clear that lead was getting into her system. So then you rewind the tape, you back up, and you see how that lead could have gotten into her system. And Brian Mann was the only person who had access to Hannah.
The grand jury agreed, and in September 2022, Brian was arrested and pleaded not guilty to attempted murder. He was freed on a $500,000 bond, but was required to report to jail every weekend.
Can I see the ankle monitor? What's it like having to wear that?
I mean, it's definitely annoying.
Police still had nothing connecting Brian to any form of lead. But then they got an unexpected call. Turns out this man, Danny Hill, thought he knew exactly where the lead came from. It all began when Brian asked Danny, a contractor, to line his x-ray room at his chiropractic office with, you guessed it, lead. Danny had recognized Brian from a newspaper article about his arrest and got in touch with McDiarmid.
You do an x-ray room, the walls have to be lined with lead for the protection of the people outside the room. We did it with rolls of soft lead that we just covered the walls with and then put drywall over the top of that.
We asked Danny to obtain a sample of the same type of lead he installed in Brian's office. The lead was heavy, but surprisingly soft and malleable. Danny showed us how easy it is to scrape the sheet of lead into tiny shavings, just like pencil shavings, and how easy it is to put those shavings into an empty pill capsule.
That's just a shaving of the lead. It's soft.
After Danny was done with the x-ray room, he asked Ryan if he should dispose of the remaining lead.
And he said, I'll take care of it.
Danny Hill's information sent cops directly to Brian's office. Prior to Danny's revelations, the Hartselle Police Department did not have probable cause. Now they did.
And we got a search warrant. We went in and we took a section of that out. The lead that we recovered from the office was very thin. It would be thin enough that it could be shaved or whatever.
Tell me about how important that phone call was from the contractor.
It was vitally important. It's always necessary to put your murder weapon into the hands of a defendant.
But Brian insists the state's case is weak, and so he got himself a strong advocate, bodybuilder and defense lawyer, Chad Morgan.
There's no reason that any of their evidence should be able to get into a courtroom.
Going into the trial in June 2025, Brian had been forbidden any visitation with his children for more than 2 years. He says it was just unfair.
I should have never been separated from my kids. I'm going to be back in their lives. I've just been waiting for my chance.
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
With networks like Fox News, CNN, MS Now, and more, Sling is the best way to get the news you care about, which is great for everyone. Well, almost everyone.
Where's that dang paper, boy? I need my news outdated and rolled up like a burrito. Finally! Now I can read about what happened forever ago.
Get the most important news delivered reliably at the best price. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com/news. See your offer.
How does it feel to know that someone tried to kill you?
At night, I get really creeped out thinking about that someone poisoned me for a long, long time.
The state started its case today against a Morgan County chiropractor charged with attempting to kill his wife. Man maintains his innocence.
In June 2025, defendant Brian Mann walks into a Decatur, Alabama courthouse facing a possible life sentence. No cameras are permitted inside the courtroom during the trial.
What was your working theory as to what happened in this case with this crime?
It really begins months before Hannah ever appears at UAB Hospital.
Lead prosecutor, Garrick Vickery.
In terms of a theory, it mostly was that he made a decision to slowly poison her, to gain this life insurance, to rid himself of a sweet, sweet person.
Brian's defense attorney, Chad Morgan, tells the jury that police never found any lead-filled capsules in Brian's home, office, or anywhere else.
They searched the entire house, top to bottom. Never found one piece of lead.
One of the issues we had was that Brian Mann had months and months to execute his plan and then to get rid of the evidence.
But the state does have Hannah, and prosecutors make her the first witness.
Did you look at Brian when you walked into the courtroom?
I did.
Was that the man that you had fallen in love with?
No, I mean, I saw someone totally different.
Hannah tells the jury how Brian supplied her with vitamin capsules each night, even when her pain was so intense she could barely swallow.
I remember being in bed one night, and I was in so much pain and I was so nauseous. And Brian was like, I put your vitamins on your nightstand. And he was like, you need to take them. And I was like, I just can't tonight. I do not think I can keep anything else down. And he was like freaking out about it. Like he was like, you gotta take it.
How easy would it have been to put lead in those capsules?
Tremendously easy. Anyone that's sharpened a pencil could see how easy it is to get lead shavings. And once you have that, and you have two hands to separate a pill and put it back together, you've got all the instruments you need to try to murder your spouse.
Brian's attorney alleges Hannah's own mother, Nicole, could have been the one poisoning Hannah.
I'm suggesting they're looking in the wrong place.
He claims Nicole gave Hannah milkshakes that could have been laced with lead.
Tell me why her mom was coming to her house every day for almost a year giving her a milkshake.
Did you look into her mother?
The thought was considered. You don't want to rule anyone out. Before
Assistant really District Attorney Kelly Simoneau.
And Nicole just didn't have that kind of access to her daughter.
Did your mom bring you milkshakes?
No, not that I recall. I don't even like milkshakes. I really don't even like milkshakes. I don't drink milkshakes.
Hannah tells the jury how the pain affected her. Her body, in a sense, the crime scene. And her brain scans, blood work, and x-rays are discussed in open court. But there's something she's been holding back until she takes the stand.
It is kind of emotional to talk about the fact that I can't have children anymore.
On the day she was discharged, Hannah was smiling, but inside, she was heartbroken. Doctors had just told her she could no longer have children. She was only 22 years old. When it's Nicole's turn to take the stand, she thinks she knows what's coming from Brian's defense attorney.
I knew that he was going to try to say that, possibly say that I had did this. And I wasn't really concerned about that because I didn't do it.
Simoneau explains why prosecutors believe Brian used lead-filled capsules, like this one, instead of mixing the lead into her food.
She would have tasted it. And so that's where the theory of the capsule comes in, because it's the only way that she would have willingly put it in her mouth and swallowed it and not noticed anything different.
After a day and a half and seven witnesses, the state rests its case. And then so does the defense. Chad Morgan calls no witnesses.
I was shocked that they've had 3 years to put this together, and then it comes out that he has no defense at all.
Brian's lawyer says he did his job and maintains that the lack of evidence in the state's case is the best evidence of all.
There was a lot of assumptions about this is lead and that's lead, but there was not one person that testified to anything that they actually saw him do, touch, or even begin to believe that she ingested something he gave her.
The jury gets the case on a Wednesday afternoon, and the next day returns a verdict. Guilty.
There was about a second of shock. I don't think he was expecting that.
Juror Jeff Soley.
That guy's a monster.
Why do you say that?
The arrogance it takes to essentially watch somebody waste away, and then not only watch during the poisoning, but also watch during, you know, the downfall. I think that takes a very special person.
It took me a few seconds for it to sink in that it was a guilty verdict. I just immediately started feeling the tears well up because it was just this buildup, and I just had to step out.
This is a great win for all domestic violence victims, especially those that are scared to come forward.
McDearman is now chief of the Hartselle Police Department. And after a lot of reflection, Hannah allows herself to consider a hard truth.
Do you think he ever loved you?
No, I truly don't think that he did. I just don't think any of it was real.
It's got to be hard to say.
Yeah.
Because it was real for you.
Yes, it was very real for me.
Single file.
Now it's very real for Brian, who was sentenced to life in prison in August 2025. And Hannah, who was once feared to be so brain damaged that she would never be able to testify, she graduated from college with a teaching degree.
And what does
Hannah's new life look like?
You know, I'm a teacher, so I'm starting at a new school this year. So I'm just gonna focus on being the best teacher that I can be and being the best mother I can be.
Life got even sweeter for Hannah when she and the children moved back into their old home, the one they used to share with Brian.
I've repainted, I redecorated everything, cleaned it up really good. I got all my stuff moved in there and just pictures of us three all in there. So now it feels like ours.
If you or someone you know is a victim of domestic violence, contact the National Domestic Violence Hotline, www.thehotline.org, at 1-800-799-7233.